Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today's episode revolves around an old issue of how to rescue a person when the shark is still present. Add murky water to it and let the shark be a white shark, and you have the worst imaginable scenario for any lifeguard, for any rescuer. Of course, we could also add current, low light, and such, but I think you get the picture. So what to do? As a lifeguard, a US lifeguard, you cannot be held liable if you decide not to jump in. So you would not have to do anything until you can go out there with, let's say, a jet ski or such to retrieve the victim. But assuming you feel it is your duty to swim out there and try your best, you want to get there with a plan of action. But it's likely that you never had to do it before, and all you have is from your research you did because you cared. And what you gathered is, unfortunately, not what I would suggest. In the following minutes, I'd like to give you a step-by-step procedure how you can approach and rescue a person while the shark remains in close vicinity. Of course, it is pretty much in theory what you then have to apply, because most likely you never tried it on another simulated situation. Although, granted, we actually did these type of scenarios for the last 10 years. So knowing what to do in theory, of course, is never as good as having done it, but you can memorize the following and understand the why behind. You're not just much better off, you're also more in charge during the rescue. It comes down to focus on the situation and go through a defined procedure without losing any situational awareness. What I mean with the latter is that it may happen, and I'm stressing the may, that a shark will do something unexpected, but that is the very exception to the rule. So how can we be so sure that this is the case? Well, on one side, through observations, how sharks of different species act to similar but new situations for them. On the other, through actual interactions with them. For some of you who don't really know my background, I'm an experimental shark behavior specialized in shark-human interaction with special emphasis on accident analysis and reconstruction. So anyway, back to the why we know. On one side, we had the by chance observations in the past, which runs now into tens of thousands of encounters. On the other hand, we created observations by creating scenarios, which actual people in it videotaped and evaluated the interactions. And that includes incident scenarios. The good thing is that you don't have to get bitten first in order to create a real-life scenario, since a shark that is focused on any person pretty much behaves like one who sticks around after a bite. So it is the shark's curiosity that we have to deal with, as well as claim response. I'm sure everybody gets the curiosity part, but how about claim response? That needs our attention. What does it mean? Claim response. Well, you can only have a clue when you just take the word apart, claim and response. We all have seen it and also experienced, mainly when we're younger. Let's say you found something or saw something first, you claimed it as yours. And if any other person wanted it, well, you fought over it. And it did not really matter if you needed it, knew what it was or whatever, especially when you were young, you saw it, you claimed it, and that's that. Something like that comes into play after shark bites a person, should it then stick around. And in most cases, a shark stays. It remains there. And why shouldn't it? I know there's this old idea of hit and run, where a shark takes off after a bite. Yeah, right. I truly wonder what idiot came up with this idea. This actually scenario implies the shark did boo-boo, and now he takes off just because, you know, he doesn't want to get punished. Yeah, right. Anyway, the same goes for the other two definitions, sneak and bump and bite. And the worst is, there are still plenty of websites that promote this idiotic approach. And even worse, so some so-called shark experts keep promoting it as well. How can you believe such crap? Well, you can believe it as long as you have not dealt with sharks face to face. And with that, I do not mean joining a shark dive, but bringing sharks in, creating a particular scenario where people have been bitten in the past, and then jump in and trigger related reactions. Only when you have experienced these type of encounters can you truly start to talk about these animals and do an educated guess how a situation may play out. The same goes for the different species. How can you mention what to do with a particular species when you have never experienced that species before? Only a few of us have dealt with white sharks outside of cages, created scenarios, and got a clear feeling for a particular situation. Just looking at them from the surface or then in a cage won't give you the knowledge and expertise you need. But back to the scenarios in question. Approaching a victim in murky water with a white shark still close by. First of all, is it dangerous for the rescuer or not? Well, it is not. And I'm talking now about a rescuer who has to swim out to the victim without backup. We have not seen in the past that the rescuer got bitten while trying to rescue a person. But then again, it was hardly a white shark and the visibility most of the time was not really bad. Both the presence of a white shark and the low visibility is one thing, but trying to actually do something beside watching that thing is a complete different level of stress. Not seeing a shark right below you, even with a mask on when snorkeling, puts your mind in a very bad spin. And then you have to consider that the shark below you is a specimen that may be 14, 15 feet long or 4 to 5 meters. Well, I think you get the picture. I can't say that I triggered some of these situations with white sharks on purpose in the past. They just happened during the times we spent with these animals and worked on other scenarios. But those few interactions, those few scenarios, moments, were more educating for me than all my regular shark dives with scuba together. So what would a lifeguard have to do first when coming up to the victim? First, he has to quantify and qualify the situation. Distance of the shark to the person and its swim pattern, and of course the status of the person. If the shark is in visual range, position yourself between the victim and the shark, but as far away from the victim so they cannot grab you, and see if the animal comes closer again or not, either towards you or the victim. Should you have the chance to see the wound prior to force an interaction between yourself and the shark, the better you can act or react. Is the wound rather superficial? A second bite can pretty much be excluded as long as you do not try to remove the victim right away. Otherwise, the shark may try to keep the victim there and, again, the claim response occurs. A claim response may still occur down the road, but the more time you give yourself and the shark, the better. Once the swim pattern of the shark is more predictable, remember the term cognitive mapping? Well, the easier the situation gets for you. So once a shark is on its outbound leg, you can approach the victim. If the victim is still conscious, you fill the person in of what you want to do or going to do. If not, then you just grab the person and move towards the beach until you see the silhouette of the shark again and immediately stop an active motion. Now comes a problem. In low visibility, the shark may leave the visual area altogether and you have no clue where it reappears. Such can happen, so the only possibility you have at this point is remaining close to the victim, but not as close as being in reaching distance, and pivot around your axis until you see the shark again, and then go from there. Should the shark come into touching distance to the victim, do not, I repeat, do not pull the victim away from the shark, but push it away, so you get close to the shark. The former could create a variety of scenarios, meaning you pull the victim away, a hunting behavior, a play behavior, or again, claim response. Since it is a fact that the free-swimming shark cannot stand still, every shark that is approaching you and the victim has to move away from you at one point, except should the shark do a go-around, what we commonly call circling. Here, the distance between you and the shark is of importance. Does the shark keep a wider distance that is close to the visual range? You can proceed with withdrawing, but stop immediately should the shark leave its circling pattern. Should the shark circle rather close, let's say a radius of 2 body lengths, so be at its inner circle, you have to let the victim be for a few moments and approach the shark in a very direct manner and force the shark to back off. Once it is on an outbound leg, and even just for a few seconds, move the victim a bit closer to shore. And this has to be repeated until the victim is at the beach or rescue ski reaches the victim. I understand that some of you now will say, wait a minute, didn't we just agree that the visibility is low? So how can a shark be further away in low visibility or closer in low visibility? Yeah, I know, it's a mute point to discuss. What I actually just mean is if the shark is at the visual range, which can be a few meters, a few yards, there's a difference if it stays there or between the actual visual range and your position, which brings him, of course, then a little bit closer. So I think we have to do a show just on visual range and what does it mean for a shark, because the shark, again, understands that at one point it does not see the human being either. So whatever shark decides where to position itself actually has a true meaning. So I hope you get the idea what I really mean here. Of course, you now likely point out that the rescue is under such stress that he can't keep all these things present when being on such a rescue mission. Well, I believe in memorizing and keeping reciting it until you can recall it without much trouble. Repeat it in your mind over and over, and I guarantee you, should the situation arise where you have to jump in, you will do the right thing. Okay, I hope you get now a better understanding of what to do. I hope you never have to face such a situation, but if you do, follow these simple steps, and I guarantee you, nothing's going to happen to you, and you will bring the victim back to shore. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.